I wrote this at the heading of my notes tonight. Why is it so difficult at times? Why is it so difficult at times? How many of you have ever asked that question? Why does it have to be so hard sometimes? How many here can relate not at all to what I just said? Everything's just perfect in your life. It's always been perfect in your life. You never have any difficulties. You never have any struggles. You never have any wants. You never have any needs. You've never been sick. You've never known anybody sick. You know, you're not poor. You've never known anybody poor. Everything has just always been... Yeah. Anybody? But every one of us in this room, at one point or another, has asked the question, why is it so hard sometimes? Now, I didn't stop there. I tagged this on to the end of it. Why is it so hard at times to be a Christian? Why is it so hard at times to be a Christian? I think that's a twofold thing. I think as we're young in our Christianity, I think that it seems that way at times. And I'll explain why in a few moments. But I believe as we mature and as we grow and as we learn in our faith, it's not hard to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, it becomes very easy to be a Christian. But how many of you at one point or another in your Christian walk felt it difficult to be a Christian? There were struggles at times for being a Christian. Well, I can tell you, anyone that tells you that it's going to just be easy, they're foolish and they're not telling you the truth. Is it fulfilling? Absolutely. Is it joyful? Absolutely. Is it easy? Not always. Not always. In some ways, to be honest, it seems to get tougher when we come to Christ. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, life seems so much easier when I was a sinner. I said, because the devil had you. He wasn't fighting for you because he already had you. You were already doing his bidding. You're already living for him. He didn't have to come after you. He didn't have to war with you. There wasn't a war. It wasn't an internal war inside of you between righteousness and unrighteousness when you were lost in sin. You were just unrighteous. And we lived unrighteously when we were outside of Christ. But there's this internal struggle that goes on inside of every one of us that becomes more pronounced when we become a Christian, between good and evil, between righteousness, between unrighteousness, between doing the right thing and sometimes doing the wrong thing. We have to deal with things like laziness when we become a Christian. I knew a guy one time in my life, he was a lazy person. He was extremely lazy. As a matter of fact, he had a back issue, and every time we'd have prayer at the church for people to be healed, he'd leave. Because he didn't want to work. And he knew that if he got healed, he would have to go back to work. And he didn't want to work. So when there was healing, he bailed out of the building. That is an honest, true story. He didn't want to be healed. Because he entered into a realm of laziness in his life, and he began to become content in his laziness, in his lack of activity, in his lack of doing things. He liked, and he came to the place where he just liked just sitting around watching TV, watching ball games, whatever it was, but he didn't want to do anything. Well, he had a real encounter with Jesus one night. I mean, he couldn't help it. The Spirit of God was moving so powerfully that people were walking in the sanctuary door. We had consecrated a day, and we had called for 48 hours of fasting, and we'd asked people to come and not leave. to come that morning and be prepared to stay all day long till the service at night. And we were fasting and praying, and we were going to spend the whole day in prayer and in worship in the sanctuary and around the building. The glory of God was so thick. The power of God was so thick. When people were showing up at 6 o'clock who weren't there in the morning, they were being, and I know this is going to rattle some of your cages because it's a scary term in today's church, but they were being slain in the spirit as they were entering the sanctuary. As a matter of fact, there was a pile of people in the door. They were on top of each other. Where ushers were pulling them away, and we were thanking God that they were able to stand on their feet in the thickness of the presence of God to clear the aisleway so that people could come in. The pastoral staff was coming in to the door because we were around the building, and pastors were falling over the edge, over the sides of the pews, onto the pews. The power of God was so thick. We had a youth group of some 60, 65 kids. Every one of them stayed the entire day. They were, the platform looked like, if anybody would have come in, they thought people killed the whole church. There were teenagers just laying all over the platform. The presence of God was moving so powerfully. He was in the sound booth, and the Holy Spirit hit him and began, Ken, to convict him. And he began to weep. And he started running up the center aisle. And one of the board members' wives said, "Watch out, here it comes!" And she no more got that out of her mouth, and it looked like a scene in a movie theater. I saw this man literally go whoosh, backwards, literally off his feet, like something hit him and lifted him in the air and dropped him right smack in the aisle. And it wasn't long after that that almost every single person in the building that night was down under the power of the Holy Spirit. And God began to do amazing things that night. He revealed things. He spoke things. He spoke things into people's lives. He healed people. There were just amazing manifests. I don't know why God manifests like that sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. I don't understand all that. To be honest with you, I don't even try to figure that out. I just let God be God. But all I can share with you is the experience that we had that night. It was like no other experience we ever had. And this man who had become lazy became convicted of the Holy Spirit. And God touched him that night. And guess what? He had a severe back injury, multiple disc problems and all kind of problems. God divinely manipulated his spine that night and miraculously healed him. If that's too much for you, I'm sorry. But that's what happened. I witnessed it with my own eyes. 2 weeks later, he dug a sewer drain up for me with a shovel. And he jackhammered through some concrete. A man who had major disc problems in his back. Went on to be hired as the church janitor full time. And I think to this day he probably still is. But he became content being lazy. And then when God healed him, he had a... Every time he was going to be lazy, he felt convicted. But see, as long as he was living, he was coming to church every week living unrighteously. But when he came to terms with how he was living, and he truly gave his, you know, there are a lot of unrighteous people in churches. There unfortunately are people who think they're righteous that are unrighteous in churches. God's cleaning that up. God's cleaning that up. He's realigning. He's putting people in the right alignment because he's got things in store for us. And so when he wanted to be lazy, he had a battle. There was a struggle that went on for a little period of time in his life. He became sanctified. He became righteous. He became born again. He loved Jesus, but he had to battle laziness in his life. Just because he came to Jesus didn't mean that instantly left his life. He battled for a little while with it, but he overcame it. Some people battle a lot: anger, envy, self-centeredness, materialism, covetousness, intimacy issues, temptations that seem to never end, alcoholism, drug addictions, porn addictions, the world's concepts, our flesh, the enemy of our soul just doesn't go away because we've stepped into a relationship with Christ. You're still walking in a fleshly shell that faces temptation on a daily basis. How many know what I'm talking about? Who here is without temptation in their life? Anyone? Who here never faces temptation? You never have anything that pulls at you. You never war with anything. It seems at times that we are at war a lot, doesn't it? I said to my wife the other day, I woke her up and I said, "Hon, I said, I think I know what the problem is." She said, "I didn't know there was a problem." I said, "Not with us, with people." She said, "What's the problem?" I said, we have come to a place where we find ourselves fighting with what we think is so much the enemy that our continual posture is to fight to the point where we fight with each other. And I'm just talking about people in general. I'm not talking about us tonight. To the best of my knowledge, none of you have issue with anyone else here tonight, do you? If you do, raise your hand and we'll get it straightened out. To the best of my knowledge, none of you are at issue with each other tonight. But the thing is, we have a tendency to war with one another because we feel like we're in a battle all the time. And you know what? We're not meant to be in a battle all the time. We are called victorious. We are called overcomers. But just because we come to Jesus doesn't mean we are not going to face battles and struggles and difficulties that come into our life. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. These words were penned so many years ago, and still they're very familiar ground with each and every one of us alive and well on planet Earth today. Galatians 5. Beginning verse 16 down through verse number 21. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires," say gratify the desires. To gratify something, to bring pleasure. You will not bring pleasure to the desire, the want, the longing, the needing of the flesh if we walk in the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So we have to understand there that, that's the problem. There, in essence, George, is the problem. There is the Spirit, and then there is the flesh. And the problem is, way too many times, way too many people are battling and struggling between spirit and in flesh. Now, I would venture to say that every one of you here tonight, you want to walk by the Spirit. Would I be safe in saying that? How many here tonight would desire to walk by the Spirit more than the flesh? Every one of us. We would desire to walk in the Spirit. We would desire to be led by the Spirit. There enhances the battle. Because we are alive and well in a fleshly shell. And we're not always living in accordance to, come on, We're not always living in accordance to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're not aligning up with the things of the Spirit. Many times we allow unrighteousness to enter in, unrighteous thoughts, envy, jealousy, bitterness, fear. Laziness, gluttony. We allow unrighteous things to become a part of our existence. I'll tell you a funny little story. My dad used to be able to eat like nobody had ever seen in my life. My Lord, Ken, he could eat. He and some of his friends, they used to have this thing. They used to love to pick out these all-you-can-eat buffets, and they'd like to just go there to prove how much they could eat. And I tell you no lie, one night an owner of a restaurant came into our table and said to my dad and to his friend, "Now come on, enough is enough. You seriously can't come in here and continue to eat like that. I've got a business to run here. Guys like you are going to put me out of business." My dad said, "Well, then don't call it all you can eat." But when my dad got saved, God dealt with his heart on that. He enjoyed food the rest of his life, but he wasn't a glutton. He didn't eat to the point where before he left the table, he had to loosen his belt and undo it. You know, have you ever had to unbuckle the button before you left the table? knowing when, right, Nate, exercise guy? Knowing when enough is enough, right? How many of you ever ate after you were full? Because you had to finish it. We were at dinner with my mom, and she said, "Oh, I can't order that. It's too much. I can't eat it." I said, "Mom, just eat what you can eat. Don't worry about what you can't eat." And I left, believe it or not, I left some on my plate. And she said to me, "Aren't you going to eat that?" And I said, "No." She said, "Why wasn't any good?" "No, it was really good. But I got to the point where I felt like I was full. And I was trying, and I am trying, when I get to that place where I feel I'm full, then that's it. I don't care what else is on the plate. If I'm full, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop." But sometimes we'll just, and it can be that way. We can become obsessive with things. I had a relative that smoked obsessively. Would burn one down, Nate, till it got to their fingers. And then light the next one off of it. To their fingernails became brown. They used to call that chain smoking. And they would smoke pack. They couldn't even afford to do that today. You know, back then cigarettes were like 30 cents a pack, you know. I'm telling my age. But a war goes on between things in our life. We've got to have things, even if we can't afford it. We got to have it. Got to have it. But you can't afford it. It doesn't matter, because I got to have it. I want it. I need it. I desire it. Even though it can strap us for years and years into a bondage of debt. The war between doing right, doing wrong. The war between flesh and spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. There's the war. You've heard me say a million times, the natural mind is at enmity with God. It's at war. It doesn't think the way God thinks. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They're exact opposites. The spirit and the flesh are exact opposites of each other. To keep you from doing the thing you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, they're evident. Well, let's look at them. Let's see what they are. The first one, man, he didn't mince any words. He went right to the big stuff, didn't he? He went right to the word that causes everyone to cringe. Oh, my. I can't even believe Pastor would say that word in the church. Well, it's right here, Galatians chapter 5. Sexual. Sexual immorality. Boy, do we live in a time and an age where sexual immorality has reached an all-time, we could almost say, epidemic. Epidemic. The desire, the longing, the not being able to control oneself, but yet God has given us the ability through peace, love, and a sound, disciplined mind to be able to control our desires. And those are God-given desires. God created us to be, I know I'm probably making some of you nervous when I say it, but he created us to have sexual desires. He created us to have those feelings and emotions. Amen, men? Because I know I'm not going to amen for the women. But the truth is, God created us that way. And it's healthy. It's a good thing. Kept within the parameters of the way God ordered it and designed it to be. George taught it in Bible school. You know, why do we as men not run and try to attack all the younger women in our church like we have no control? Because they're like our little sisters. And in case you don't know, that's gross. Don't mess around with your sister. That's gross. That's nasty. That's sexual immorality. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And if you can't look at someone of the opposite sex and see them without panting like an animal, there's a problem. What's the problem? Flesh and spirit. That's the problem. If we would walk according to the Spirit and if we would align ourselves with the Word of God and we would stay in tune with the order and the direction of the Word of God in our Christian walk and our Christian faith, we would be less likely to succumb to those desires and those passions. And again, make no mistake, God created those in us. But in our world and society today, you know, it's unbelievable, George. It's considered harassment to do that today. Now, don't bring me up on charges. Everybody's a witness. I didn't come on to him tonight. I just simply touched his shoulder. But today, you can't do that. You have to be so careful in society today. Why? Because there is such an epidemic of immorality in the attraction of sexes. And that's only, I'm only talking between men and women. When we burn with lust or desire after someone that takes us beyond the parameters of God's word, we're following the flesh. Impurities. Think of how many impure things there are. You know, we listen to impure things. Sometimes we celebrate impure things without even realizing that they're impure, that they're impure. We'll listen to music that's impure. And then we'll wonder why we're having impure thoughts. We'll go to impure movies, and then we'll wonder why we're lusting with sexual immorality. We'll listen to things. Sensuality. Flirtatious. Being flirtatious. I was at a church one day where the pastor said, I want to just make an announcement. Don't come to church anymore letting everything hanging out. You want to go to a church where you have everything exposed, go somewhere else. Don't come back here. He said, don't be coming up to this altar with everything hanging out. Because every usher in the building is running up here to lay hands on you. Don't do it. Don't wear, you know, guys, stop wearing them Daisy Duke shorts. You know? And you say, well, but people should be able to control themselves. That's absolutely true. But when you live in a world where people have a lack of control over themselves, you do well not to put yourself in a position when somebody else can't control themselves. Does that make sense to you? Idolatry. We make idols out of things that we don't even realize that we make idols out of. We make idols out of people. We make idols out of traditions. Sorcery. Did you throw the paper away? Yeah, why? I didn't see my horoscope yet. Really? Really? That's how you're going to determine what the kind of day. I know people like that. They determine what kind of day they're going to have based on what the horoscope says. Pity sakes alive, there's somebody in a room making that stuff up and they're just printing it out. There's no. And some people take that stuff so seriously. Witchcraft. There are sometimes we allow trinkets and figurines and things to come into our lives that we have no idea what those things even represent. Symbols. Enmity. Wars. Warring. Some people wouldn't even be happy if they weren't warring with something or someone. Do you ever know anyone like that? And they got to be fighting all the time. They'll be fighting. If they ain't fighting, they ain't happy. Strife. Just always at something, picking at something, picking on somebody, disagreeing with this, disagreeing with that. I think some people just like to disagree just to disagree. They don't even necessarily disagree with it. They just want to disagree. Just to throw a monkey wrench into things. And sometimes we do it under the notion of, well, somebody's got to take the other side, the devil's advocate. Listen. You have been born again. You have been spirit-filled. You have been sanctified. You are not the advocate of the devil. You have, huh? He does. No. You are now an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Amen? We are ambassadors. Strife, though, man. Do you imagine how big the church would be today? I mean, the church in general would be today if it was not for just the last two things alone. Enmity and strife. jealousy. Why do they get to do that? Why don't I get to do it? Why did they get asked and why didn't I get asked? Why do they have that thing and I don't have that thing? Why did they get the job and I didn't get the job? I sat with somebody many years ago, and they were, Karen, they were furious at somebody that got a job. Furious with them. Why did they get the job? I don't understand, Pastor. Why did they get the job and I didn't get the job? We went through like 45 minutes of pure rage that they didn't get the job and someone else did. And finally I said, I just got to ask you. Did you even apply for that job? That's not the point. I said, you know, somewhere along this conversation, it dawned on me, you didn't, well, I wouldn't have got it anyway. It's a setup. They were going to get the job the whole time, so it doesn't matter. Why even apply? I just scratched my head. I said, can I ask you another question? They said, yes. I said, is anything that I'm going to attempt to say to you tonight going to change or make a difference in your life? Probably not, was the answer. And I said, I admire your honesty. We might as well go out and get dessert then. Because absolutely nothing I am saying is going to make a difference. And you're mad somebody got a job and you didn't even apply for the job. I got to tell you, that's just lunatic. That's like being a lunatic. That's what I said to him. It's like being a lunatic. You're freaking out over not getting a job that you didn't even apply for. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. And finally, by the end of the conversation, I just started repeating back stuff to him that he was saying to me. And by the end, he started laughing. He said, boy, that really sounded ridiculous, didn't it? I said, well, yeah, it kind of did. I just replied, I said, can I just share everything you said to me? I'm going to repeat it back to you. And then you tell me. Did I actually say that? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's crazy. I said, but here's the thing. You're at war. And it turned out to be really good. And sometimes you have to confront things like that. Sometimes you got to be easy and sometimes you got to hit something hard. You know? And he said to me afterwards that night, Pastor, I want to thank you so much that you put me in my place. I said, listen, I didn't want to be confrontational with you. I take no pleasure in you having to feel like I put you in your place. Because I just shared with you the scripture. I shared with you where you were erroring in your way. And hopefully that brought you to a better place. Because my job was never to make you feel bad or anything like that. And they said, no, absolutely, you changed my situation. And so they went out. But here was the thing. They had this mentality that the world was against them. They stopped applying for jobs because the world, they weren't going to get them. They stopped trying. Because everything and everybody was against them. And they believed before they ever even entered into an interview that they weren't going to get the job. So you know what they did? They actually blew the interview. They'd go in and say things in the interview that nobody in their right mind would hire that person. So that they could say they didn't get it and that the world was against them. It solidified, George, their frame of mind, their way of life. That's just, the world is against me. Everybody hates me, you know, that whole type of thing. But thank God that individual was set free. But just jealous over, well, I can't afford jewelry like, you know, or I can't buy shoes like, or I can't drive a car like, or I could never live in a house like. Jealousy. fits of anger. Fits of anger. When was the last time you ever threw a fit? Is anybody here? I shouldn't ask you. I shouldn't ask you to out yourself. A fit of anger. Rivalries. Better just get through this list or I'm never going to get through it. Dissensions, divisions. Oh, Lord. You know, many years ago, when this was a number of years ago, Pastor David had preached a sermon one Sunday. Susan and I were away. And there was an individual that attended here way back then and doesn't attend here any longer, but that individual got me the following Sunday and he said, "You better watch your back." I said, "Why?" "Well, he preached a pretty decent word on Sunday morning. If you're not careful, he just might take your job." And my reaction shocked the daylights out of him. I said, "Praise God. If that would be God's will for him to have this job, then I would be the first one to congratulate him, lay my hands on him, and hopefully be able to be here to celebrate that happening." "You really mean that?" "Well, absolutely." "Do you think if I go away, I'm sitting somewhere in a hotel room going, 'Our Father who art in heaven, let George or Nate fail tremendously today. Let the words of their mouths be like concrete pouring upon the heads of thy people. God, let it be as rat poison to their taste. Let every word that exits their mouths be just a poisonous aroma to the people.' That would be absolutely foolish. These guys will tell you, it isn't long. George, how long do you think it is after the service before I text? How long? Nate, how long is it till I text you usually after a Sunday morning when you preach? He's looking at his phone. 12:29? See, I text George after 1. I text Nate around 12:30. I know who's more long-winded of the two. But and don't they do a great job? Don't they do a great job? Absolutely. And when I'm away, and if I'm somewhere in, you know, visiting my mom's church or whatever, and they'll usually say to me, "Oh, who's speaking at your church today?" I say, "Oh, man, God gave us great young men. Great young men of God." And I can't say that much longer because they're getting old. But great young men of God. But Pastor Nate Murray, he's getting some gray up on top of that roof. He's going to match me before long. George dies his, so don't worry about it. No, I'm just kidding. You don't, do you? No, all right. He's just blessed with that Greek black hair. But I say all the time, God has blessed us. Blessed us. I said, set the place on fire. Didn't I tell you that? Set the place on fire Sunday morning. Nate said, "I want to be careful. I don't want to burn up the new wall." Set the place on fire. Give the word. Preach it. You know, I encourage you when it's time for you. It just, that's the way it should be. We shouldn't be jealous of one another, you know. Shouldn't be envying of one another. You shouldn't envy Karen because she has a range like nobody's business. Envy, I mean, you do have like this crazy vocal range. You have an amazing range. But it's easy to sit back and become envious or jealous over the talent or the gift or the ability. We shouldn't be that way. And especially in the body. Huh? Because we're the body. I went back to jealousy. I was way past that. I don't know how I got back to that. Divisions, envy. Oh. You ready for this one? Drunkenness. We've had somebody leave his church in the last 5 years Because they couldn't drink when they came here. I said, I never even had that conversation with them. Never even had that conversation with them. But they felt guilty if they drank when they came here. Now their Facebook posts are like, you don't see them without something in their hand. Drunkenness. The big problem in our society today, isn't it? It's a big problem in the church. You know, most churches today have to hire on professional counselors to deal with many of the things that we just talked about here. The addictions and things like that. Because there's a war going on in our flesh. Now this next one, I sure hope to God it has nothing to do with anybody here. It's such a gross word, isn't it? It really is a gross word. Orgies. But you know, amongst certain societies and certain, that's a pretty big thing. How about the news recently of a young actress who's a part of a sex cult ring? Very popular, I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show. I had no idea what it is, but is it a TV show or a movie? Anyone know? Nobody's going to admit they've ever seen it. Huh? It's a TV show? She was, I guess, very popular in this. I don't even know what the name of it is. Anybody know it? And I'm not trying to trick you. Anybody know what the name of the TV show was? Huh? Smallville. Yeah, that's right. She was a part in a part of a sex trafficking ring where she was recruiting people into this. Man, I don't know about you, but that's troubling to me. That's troubling to me. It's troubling to me to think that you can't go send your kid to school anymore without wondering if them and the teacher is going to hook up. Yeah, suspicion of everybody and everything. And the people with the very best of intentions, unfortunately, get wrapped up in suspicion. And the things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not, that whole list, we just saw a list, right? This whole list, the Bible says that I've warned you. What is a warning meant to do? To warn you, to change your direction? To warn you as I've warned you before. Another, he said, I just told you this once. That those of you who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But that list is followed by another list. We're going to get to that other list the next Wednesday night we get together. It's called the fruit of the Spirit list. And we're going to talk more and we're going to uncover more of the differences between these two lists. The contrast between the two lists. And why it is that people have such a difficult time in their walk at times is because the overlapping of the lists. The inclusion of the two lists is one. When the one list we are to stay away from, the other list we are to embrace. But see, when here, and I got to say this closing because our time's up. But Nancy, here it is. When we've lived immorally and then we become moral, sometimes all the immorality just doesn't disappear. We got to work on getting rid of some of that. How many know what I'm talking about? And it's not that you want to do that, but sometimes you just find yourself. Have you ever been pulled to something that you've given up? Have you ever just felt attraction, something that you knew that wasn't good for you? The battle rages on. And so we have these battles because we once were in darkness and now we're in light, and there were some things in the darkness that if we want to be truthful, we really liked. Because they enticed our flesh, our emotions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the good thing is, we can walk. We can walk because he said, walk in the Spirit. So when we come to Christ, we now, James, can transfer from the unrighteous into the righteous and then begin to walk in the Spirit. And if it were not possible, then he would be somewhat of a demented God to tell us to do it if we couldn't do it. But we can. And here's the key why. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We crucify the flesh, we die to the flesh, and we live to the Spirit. And then we can walk in victory. But if we haven't died to the first list, we can truly not walk in life in the second list. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that you gave us here. And Lord, I pray tonight you will strengthen each and every one that's heard your word. Lord, if there's any here tonight that are struggling in areas of the flesh, battling with addictions and strongholds of the flesh, I pray tonight by your Spirit, God, you will set them free. And as they would come before you with a repentive heart tonight and say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need released. I need set free from this thing that I'm battling. I want to live by your Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray tonight that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and you will give them the courage and the strength in the face of their difficult moment to say no, to reject the deeds of the flesh, and to walk according to your Spirit. I pray tonight, Father, that you will help each one tonight that's battling in that area, that you will give them overwhelming strength and victory by the blood of the Lamb, because you have deemed us overcomers. You have deemed us to be victorious. And Father, tonight, I pray that for those who are struggling, they'll step out of the defeat and into victory. We declare it and decree it tonight to be done in Jesus' name. If there be any sick among us tonight, Father, we ask that you divinely and miraculously heal them and deliver them and set them free from the bondage of sickness. If there are any battling whatever situation or circumstance it may be in their life, we ask, God, that you will give them the strength. Whether it is, Lord, you deliver them out of it or you take them through it, Lord, either way, they're going to have victory. Let them put their hope, confidence, and trust in you because you are a good, good Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.